Welcome to the show. This is your host, David Yanez, and you're listening to MidWatch with the Rev. We have a very special guest for you, someone that's going to teach you about a lot of things in finances, but most of all, going to teach you how you have to have God in your financial plans. We have with us today Mr. Art Alley. Say hi, everyone, Art.
Hey, David. Hi, everyone. Glad to be with you.
Amen. Well, we're excited that you're here, and just a lot of different guests we've been having, and we've been having everything from prophecy teachers to healing evangelists to people that have written books and Art. Well, we had to get you on because we want to know about the Timothy plan. And before we know about that, just tell us who you are and how you came to know the Lord and just some history about your faith, and then we'll get into everything else.
Well, that's cool. We are actually located right now in Orlando, Florida. The Lord and I have been interacting for, Lord, 40 years.
Amen.
I have transitioned from believing in God to believing God.
That's powerful.
And that's a big difference.
Yes, that is.
So, you know, he is the founder, chairman of the board. Jesus is our chairman, the Timothy Plan. We operate on biblical principles. We take it seriously. Because you know what I found? One of his key attributes, along with loving and being just, which seems to be where people stop short, is that he's consistent. He says what he means what he says, and he's consistent in the application. So that's the way we operate this enterprise that he called into being some 20 years ago.
Amen. That's powerful. How important is it for the believer to find biblical type of investing?
Well, it just depends. You know, a lot of people wear the label Christian, but they're not as serious as God expects us to be. If you use his name, you better be darn serious about all aspects of your life. And for years, you know, Christians do have some money. In fact, 42% of the money invested in mutual funds is invested by people who consider themselves to be born-again Christians. But nobody in this industry ever talked about the biblical principles of where that money's really invested until Timothy was called into being 20 years ago. We will not, in a nutshell, invest in any company that is involved in funding evil, whether it be abortion, pornography, active promotion of the homosexual agenda, anti-family entertainment, or the production of alcohol, tobacco, or casino gambling. We're serious about it. You do not have to own those companies. And it's time that those who use Christ's name start operating on his principles, but they never had a chance until Timothy was born, because nobody was addressing these issues.
Wow. Wow. Now, when you mention those type of investments that you do not operating or do not invest in, what percentage of companies out there are doing that, and how often do Christians know what they're investing in?
Well, that's a great question, David, and they don't know, and it's a shame. And we're making this information available now to the financial planning community, because that's primarily who distributes our mutual funds to their clients. To answer your question, there's domestically, we have international funds as well, but domestically in the U.S., there's just over 8,000 publicly traded companies. Of that universe, we screen out just over 700 of them. You'd be shocked at what some of these companies do. And we just won't own them. You know, we understand the biblical principle that there is none righteous, none. People think we only invest in good companies. That's not true. from a biblical perspective, because the Bible's clear. There's none righteous. If there was, Jesus would not have needed to go to the cross. And companies are run by people. But, David, there is a difference between companies that are passively unrighteous, like we all are, and those pursuing an unholy agenda, and those are the ones we will not own for our shareholders. So, for example, if you're pro-life, and you have to be, or else you can't be a believer,
amen,
in his word, if you're pro-life, how much money you think God wants you investing in abortion? See? And there are companies that are heavily involved in that, whether it's funding or directly involved. How much money do you think, and it's not your money, it's his, and once you come to grips with that, that changes the whole conversation. How much of his money do you think he wants invested in pornography?
That's true.
Or how's he feel about the homosexual agenda?
Now, how can a person that say they're already locked in, they're already investing, they've been investing for years, how can they research that? As you know, what is this stock that I have, or what is this fund that I'm in, and what is it really promoting? How can they find that out?
Well, that's not been available until we've developed some extra products, so they can know now.
Amen.
We have a sister company called Evaluator that uses all of our documented research, and it has every mutual fund, which is the biggest investment product people own in this country. Every mutual fund, if you call in, this is a free service we offer, give us the name of that mutual fund. We will produce a free report for you that will show you how much money that fund has invested in companies that fail the abortion screen and fail the pornography screen and fail all the rest of them. So you can know for the first time where that money that you have invested is actually being invested.
Wow. So there's a lot of information that a lot of people don't realize, because there's people that come into money, you know, and there's people that have practiced investing, but there's people that also come into money, with whether it's settlements, whether it's insurance. What would you advise those people, and what's the first thing they should do? I know a lot of them want to just go buy a house, pay off the car, but what's the first thing someone that comes into money should do?
Well, you know, I used to do financial planning. I've been in this industry for more years than I want to admit, over 35 years. The first thing you need to do, and it's good advice no matter where you are in life, whether you come into a little or a lot, number one, get out of debt totally.
Amen.
Including your house.
Amen.
Have no debt. If you have no debt, no matter what the world throws at you, you can survive. It doesn't take much to survive if you have a home paid for and no debt. Have an emergency fund, you know, an operating fund, before you worry about investing in the world of investment. And then take the longer term dollars and invest them for the longer term, and quit worrying about the daily ups and downs of the marketplace. So if somebody will follow that, and you really need a good quality Bible-based financial planner to guide you through that maze. And, you know, we deal with over 5,000 of these guys all over the country.
Wow.
And we are able, in a lot of cases, to refer people, because they don't know where to. How do you know? You know, just because a guy wears a fish on his shirt sleeve doesn't mean he's a Bible-based financial planner. And, in fact, in defense of the Christian financial planning industry, all of their training in this critical area, all of it has come from the world's perspective, not from the church, not from the Bible. So we've got a lot of genuine Christians out there in the financial planning industry that are sincere, and they're giving their best advice, but you can only give what you have. And if all their training has come from the world, that's all they can give. And that's why we've got a mission to try to help those guys understand the biblical foundations of the way they ought to be operating their practice and the advice they ought to be giving to their Christian clients.
Amen, amen. So when you put, how long has the Timothy plan been put together?
20 years.
20 years. And what caused you to put this together?
the 2x4 God has with my name on it. Really, I'm not joking. I didn't want to do this. I had a nice financial planning practice, but you know, I've been battling the abortion and pornography and all that with a bunch of ministries. And when it became increasingly clear that I was helping my clients invest money in companies that were funding that stuff or directly involved in that stuff, I couldn't do it anymore. So, you know, it gave birth to what has become the Timothy Plan now. And we struggled for 10 years. But I'm pleased to say, you know, we're around $600 million in investor assets now and have some of the absolute top money management firms in the country. In fact, one of our managers is located right there in Houston. Okay. You know, we use professional money managers. Eagle Global Advisors are in the Galleria area there in Houston, and they manage our international fund and our newest fund, the Israel Common Values Fund.
Yeah, talk about that.
Which one? The Israel?
Yes, the Israel.
Well, we launched that because Israel isn't getting a lot of love from America right now. Politically,
yeah, that's true.
Or in the church with this replacement theology stuff that's going around. And that's why you got to get to the point where you believe God and His Word is true. And when he made that covenant with Israel as his people, he used a term that somehow people don't seem to understand. It was forever. Now, that doesn't come to an end. And that's our only real ally and our only real common country in the world, because America was one nation under God at one time. Israel was God's called people. So we launched the Israel Fund more to show support for Israel than for economic reasons. But the more we got into it, we began to understand that Israel is probably, although it's a smaller country, it's probably the biggest economic engine in the world right now. And they lead the world in technology and medical and banking and a number of areas. A book that I would commend to everybody is Startup Nation, which explains why Israel is so successful. So it's probably going to be one of our best funds. I mean, it's really well-run companies that understand how to do business and understand how to do it under the constant threat of war. They thrive when the missiles start raining down upon them. It's an incredible story. So we're with Israel. Anybody who is a believer has to stand with Israel, and that's why we launched that fund.
Amen. Did it take some time to find the companies and stuff that you felt led to work with out there?
Well, the reason we do this, or the way we do this, David, is we find the professional money management firms who have the expertise in that arena. And Eagle Global Advisors right there in Houston is the one that actually manages the fund. See, we manage the managers here. And we do the research here, and we tell them what they cannot own, but then it's up to them to determine how to construct a very profitable portfolio for our shareholders from the remaining companies.
Well, amen. Well, it's good to know that there's companies like yours out there, that you're kind of a watchman, if you let us use that word, on the people and the people's funds that's going out and where it's going. It's not just about turning, you know, and making the interest grow or anything like that. It's about pushing something forward and making something last for, you know, for your home, for your family, and
exactly.
And when you see that. It's a good thing. I like the Israel thing big time, because that I mean, how can you not be blessed by being a blessing to Israel and seeing the and you know, when you're investing that way, you're actually part of God's plan right there for Israel.
Well, that's a very good biblical principle, and you know, bottom line, we're just here for people that really want to align their behavior with their stated beliefs. And we can do that. The knock against us in the beginning is, how in the world can you manage, and we're a family of funds, I mean, we got 11 different funds, how can you manage money for people, get good returns, and screen out so much of what the managers can invest in? And the beginning statement I would make to that is, I said, so what? We're going to be biblically obedient. We're going to do the best job we can. We're going to be kingdom class. But what we've proven over the years, and every one of our sub-advisors, and I mean, they're all over the country. We've got one in Philadelphia, two in Dallas, Houston, Connecticut, professional firms that manage, they will all tell you that there is no penalty because they manage billions and billions of dollars for all kinds of clients. We're the only one that they manage the morally biblical screens for. And they'll tell you that our returns are as good and many times better than they're getting for their other unscreened clients.
Amen. That's God right there. That's God that.
But
that
it's but it's
it.
Not about return. It's not about returns. It's about obedience.
That's true.
So we don't promise anybody anything but kingdom class with top tier money management firms that's watching after their money better than 99% of those out there in the industry can do. And if there are times when we trail averages, that's okay, because there's other times when we don't trail, when we beat them. But over time, we believe that we're going to produce as good of returns, if not better, than anybody else. But if it's returns we're focused on, we're in trouble, because that's the way the world does it. We focus on obedience. My job is to deliver the quality of management which will deliver the returns.
Amen. Amen. And I love God's math. God's math outdoes our math anytime.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And it's his money.
It's true.
Which is his stewards. And if we take that more seriously than we generally do, things are going to work out a whole lot better for us. In fact, in the beginning, we really struggled because people weren't even thinking along these terms.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it kind of forced me, with the second 2x4 he hit me with, to develop a biblical stewardship seminar for these Christian financial planners to go teach in the church what his word says, because right now there's a big black hole in church teaching. And his word says more about money and stewardship than any other subject.
That's true.
But that's not being taught, other than the obligatory tithing Sunday in most churches. So we've developed this 9-hour powerful exposition of what his word says, and it is in absolute contrast to everything we've learned from the secular world in which we operate about handling money.
Now, how many
Christians, just the opposite.
How many Christians are blown away when you teach that one?
Yeah, it transforms them. It's like the scales fall off their eyes. And we've trained over 1,000 Christian financial planners in that program now.
Wow, that's good. That's good. So that's a program that you go out and teach yourself? Or?
Well, I teach the teachers.
Okay.
And we now have, just north of you, there's a little seminary called Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary.
Okay.
Which is the largest seminary in the world, is in Fort Worth. They now have this course online for graduate school credits that people can enroll in and actually be in a class online with other students earn 3 hours of graduate school credits for taking the course.
Amen.
So it's starting to spread, because you know what, David? If you get it right when it comes to money, so many other areas of your life are going to fall into place. And
Amen.
The only way to get it right when it comes to money is to follow God's principles, because he's very clear on that.
Amen.
But we've gotten very good at ignoring that and, you know, kind of casting that aside and following the world's ways. And all that does is lead to trouble.
And with you training people and getting them taught, that's going to filter into the church, and that's going to filter in to Christians' lives, and people are going to start living a little better.
It really will, because we are absolutely in bondage, and Satan loves this, because we get our training from the world, not the church, and he loves that. Because when you think about it, David, money is central to everyone's life.
Oh, yeah. I understand.
You're trying to earn it. You're trying to save it. You're trying to get out of debt with it, educate your kids with it. You know.
It's something that you think about every day in.
It's central.
Yeah.
And we think about it from the world's way of thinking, because that's all we've been trained in.
Yep. That's true. That's true. And then when you get the sound biblical training on the subject and you apply it to today's life and how we live, that's going to change things. It's going to change. It's going to be like when Jonathan in the Bible dipped the rod that he was carrying into that honeycomb and tasted it. And it's like he was starving for so long, fasting, and his whole body got energy and he was alive again. I bet that's what it kind of feels like for those people that do run into this.
It frees them. I mean, some people are in tears when it's over.
That's
amazing. But, you know, if you do it God's way, it works. If you do it the world's way, it doesn't work. It may work for a season, but that's a dead-end street.
Mm.
So a couple of websites that I might refer people to,
please.
If I can.
Yeah.
That particular one is biblicalstewardship.org. Biblicalstewardship.org has all the information. I think every church in America ought to be teaching this as one quarter Sunday school curriculum.
I'm right.
Because it would transform things.
Biblicalstewardship.org.
Our biblically based mutual fund family is timothyplan.com. And from timothyplan.com, you can find your way into all the others.
Okay.
Mutual fund screening analysis is screenitcleanit.com. But you can find that from the Timothy Plan website.
That's a nice website. I love it. I'm looking at it right now, and it's just nice. I love the flash you have on there. Investing with biblical principles. You got kids and the American flag on that. That looks nice.
That's who we are. I mean, that's what we do. This is not a fish on our shirt sleeve. This is what God has called us to do.
Amen.
You know, we're not going to dishonor Him. And you know what? That's another pet peeve of mine. There are a lot of Christians in business that operate their business in a low class, in too many cases, amateurish manner. And, you know, if Christ is the center of your business, He deserves our very best. So everything we do, we take pains to make sure it's kingdom class, so we don't ever dishonor Him.
Amen.
So we're serious about our mission. And, you know, there are so many other tools. I could talk to you about Florida Faith and Works Coalition to try to wake up pastors of what's going on. We may want to do one in the future.
Yes, let's plan
that.
Up
to you. I do talks all over America on the coming economic earthquake.
Amen. Well, let's get that on the schedule for late July. We can do that. We can talk to your coordinator there, and let's get you on there. We'll do another half hour segment, and because that'll take the whole show.
Well, that's a wake up call, because people really don't realize how close we are to the abyss. We're right at the edge of financial collapse in America, and if something doesn't happen and happen fast, we will reach the point of no return. We're not there yet, I don't think. But people need to wake up. It's serious stuff. We got to start paying attention.
Amen. Amen. Well, my brother, we're almost about out of time on this segment. I want you to give whatever contact information you have, and please give your websites again as well.
Well, we're here to answer questions, to provide information, to support anybody. All they have to do is they can call us. Our 800 number is just that, 800-TIM-PLAN for Timothy Plan, or 1-800-846-7526. Anybody here on our staff can help. We can send information. We can evaluate mutual funds. We can do whatever they want. The main website is timothyplan.com. If you need a Christian planner in your area, we probably have somebody in our database that we could suggest. We don't recommend anybody, but we suggest.
Okay.
Biblicalstewardship.org, check that out. That's a course that everybody ought to go through. from there we can direct you. We've got a website for pastors. Pastor, check out what we're doing in Florida. It's floridafaithworks.org. Most of what we do is not for profit. Timothy is for profit because that's the engine that just runs all these other ministries.
Amen.
So that's what we do. We would love to hear from anybody and anything we can do to help. That's why we're here. That's why God put us here.
Amen. Well, we enjoyed having you on the show. And, yeah, let's get something put together for late July or mid-August. And we can get it.
Anytime. I'm glad to do it, man.
Okay. God bless. Thank you, Brother Art.
Okay. Thank you.
God bless you.
God bless.
Bye-bye. Bye. And that was Mr. Art Alley with Timothy Plan and so much more. And he was just a blessing. Again, those websites, biblicalstewardship.org, timothyplan.com, floridafaithworks.com for the Pastors Coalition. And we're going to have him back. We're going to talk about the coming financial earthquake and, of course, about his Pastors Coalition. But if you need to find out more about him, give him a call. And if you need to know about investing, give him a call, 800-TIM-PLAN. Or 800-846-7526. And we'll be right back in just a few minutes. We got Mr. Eric Scott in studio. And we're going to have him in about 5 minutes. We'll be right back. This is David Yanez with Rev Media Network. Just want to take a couple of minutes to talk to you about Second Look at Sports and a 60-Second Look at Sports with Dr. Dwight Allen. These programs have been broadcasting with us for about a year now. We broadcast the 30-minute programs, the Second Look at Sports, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 4 p.m. and 7:30 p.m. And I tell you, they have been a part of a huge afternoon growth from 3 to 5 p.m. that has been a blessing to see on the stats. We've seen these numbers just growing. We have a lot of listeners listening between those time slots, and it's a huge blessing to see that these shows are touching people. Now, a 60-Second Look at Sports has been used on our music channel, our sermon channel, our talk radio channel. These three channels broadcast 24/7, and we have these 60-second slots that we throw them in throughout the day. So almost after every show and after almost every broadcast that we have, even other commercials, you'll hear Dr. Dwight Allen, and you hear some old 60-second look at sports, and you hear the current ones, and we just mix them up and throughout all the channels that we have on the station. And it's a blessing because we're seeing people touched, and being a sports fan that I am, and just being an athlete, I love hearing these stars, these athletes, these coaches, people just talking about Jesus, just talking about the things that God is doing in them life. So it's a blessing to see this type of shows put together. I know there's a lot of work in it. There's a lot of quality in it, because I tell you what, we've had over 745,000 people visit our site in the last month alone. And I believe that a part of that growth, and a big part of that growth, is the quality that these programs like a 60-Second Look at Sports and a Second Look at Sports have brought to our broadcasting station. So I want to tell you, Dr. Dwight Allen is doing a great, great job. We here at the station, we call him Coach just because of all the sports things that he does. And I tell you, he is a blessing to us, and it's a privilege to be broadcasting his programs, but also to be partnering with him in ministry and just seeing the people of God being touched. People all over the world are hearing these programs on our station, and I believe that they're just being blessed with it. God bless you. Thank you so much. Listen to a 60-second look at sports, a second look at sports throughout our broadcasting station at revmedianetwork.com. God bless you. Have a blessed day.
Who or what is to blame for the incredible youth crisis in America today, and how can we fix it? Hi, I'm Trey Sembry with Shepherd's Hill Farm with a hard word. I would take issue with the fact that we actually have a youth crisis today, although our youth are surely suffering. Any youth crisis we have is a result of a greater parent crisis, which is an outworking of a greater cultural crisis, which is a byproduct of an even more significant church crisis. 2 Chronicles 7:14 seems to indicate, until we, God's people, can get our act together, we can't expect our land to be healed. When our culture no longer puts a premium on stuff and self, when we quit being a nation of style over substance, our land can heal. God, family, and a return to a premium on moral character will then fill the void. This will produce more good and godly parents, who will then produce more good and godly youth.
Trace is the founder and director of Shepherd's Hill Farm, a Christ-centered and biblically-based program serving at-risk teens. Watch our video and learn more at shfteens.org.
The first and last miracles of Jesus were at a wedding in Cana. and then at his own funeral when he rose from the grave. Although we think of weddings as full of hope and brightness and funerals as dark and hopeless, for Christians, this is not the case. The joy of the union of two souls on their wedding day lifts our hearts with gladness, but the separation of a loved one brings us deep sadness. Yes, even for Christians, there is a sense of loss, but there is also a tremendous hope. At the passing of a Christian, they leave us for a while, but they go to be eternally united with Jesus, and we have the assurance of being reunited with them in heaven. Therefore, what at first seems two very different occasions are not so different after all. Both are a celebration of life. The new life of the happy couple who are full of love for each other, and the life of the deceased who passed into eternal union with the lover of his soul, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Economically, spiritually, and morally, America is in a state of emergency, but you can make a difference because prayer changes things. Join us this September on the 28th and 29th in Philadelphia for a solemn assembly at Independence Mall, and let your voice be heard as multitudes gather to turn to our only hope for transformation, America for Jesus 2012. Register online today at americaforjesus2012.org.
Believing you're going to heaven does not make it so. Believing God is what makes you know. Believing you're okay does not make it true. Believing God is what carries one through. Believing we're not so bad can take us to hell. Realizing we're sick can make us well. Faith in faith cannot deliver, but faith in God will fail you never. When we see God, we cry, "Woe is me," and that transforms us to the image we see. As in a glass, God's glory beholding, a new vessel now the potter is molding. Then those who escape will remember their ways, now loathing themselves for the evil of those days. But this change brings joy to be his own, under his shadow, and no more alone. Church of the King, MacAllen.org, on Ware Road, 1/2 mile north of Lark, 585-4402. Side with God against yourself, and you can't lose.
You've been listening to RevMediaNetwork.com, where the most influential ministers and Christian talk show hosts are brought to you daily, 24/7, on your online connection.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, David Yannis, and you're listening to MidWatch with the Rev. Again, you just heard he heard Mr. Art Alley, and he's in Orlando. I'm going to probably visit him while I'm out there just to see how he's doing. But he seems like a very nice guy. Very simple. Understands about finances. And again, you can visit him at timothyplan.com and get a lot of the information from his website. We're very grateful to have had him on the air. Again, our website is revmedianetwork.com. Of course, you're on here. But you can email me, David at revmedianetwork. You can also write me, revmedianetwork, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. Again, that's P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. And we have a guest in the studio with us. And I'm going to get him on this microphone, and he's going to enjoy this, and I'm going to enjoy this. We're going to do a simple interview with one of my authors from Rev Media Publishing, Mr. Eric Scott. How are you, Eric? Just come up to the mic there and stand right in front of it there. Okay. Say hello to everybody, brother.
Hello, everybody.
Amen. Well, that sounds wonderful. Yeah, well, you wrote a book. But let's talk about Eric. Who is Eric Scott? Who Reverend Eric Scott, Dr. Eric Scott, Most Holy Eric Scott?
certainly not Most Holy. In fact, actually, I have pastored, but my pastoring junket has been more along the lines of bivocational ministry.
Okay.
Where I have been blessed to have a good career.
Okay.
And have pastored churches that either needed an interim or had a situation where I came in and healed a hurting church, dying church, and then moved on when the church was well. So that's what I have.
Amen. How long have you been doing that? I mean, for years?
Oh, well, yeah, I'd say 1980s.
And you would go to different churches. So do you have a Baptist background?
I do. In fact, I'll give you a little quick and dirty.
Yeah, we want to know about you. We want to know about you. We want to know about your book, but we want to know about you.
Yeah, well, I grew up all kinds of denominations. I actually, my father died in the Korean War, and my mom became a real seeker. And so she just didn't understand why God had taken my dad away, and she was left on her own. It was a different time than these days. And so as she struggled, we went to everything from Church of Christ. We went into the Catholic Church and checked the waters there.
Yeah.
Episcopalian, you know, just pretty much the gamut. Everything except Baptist. We never really explored Baptist because she had had a bad encounter with Baptists. And so I drifted away from all of that and was in college, met a woman who is a strong woman of faith from a Baptist upbringing.
Okay.
And so we got involved in the Baptist church, and I got very involved. I had a lot of questions myself, and my background is more science, and got a degree in biology, then went on to get a business degree. Pretty studious guy.
Okay.
And I was looking for answers, and so I started finding answers as I got into the Bible, and I got into a good mentorship with a good pastor, and got very involved in the Baptist denomination, so much so that in the course of a good teaching ministry through church teaching, conventional church teaching, several of the people that came through my classes went on to be vocational ministers.
Really?
Yes, indeed. And missionaries. And a pastor tapped me on the shoulder and said, "You know what, you ever think about a calling?" And I said, "No." But anyway, from there, one thing led to another. I went on to seminary and have been very much one of those guys who needs to know why. And I want answers, and I just don't want fluff.
Yeah.
So that's my background, who I am.
Amen. So you've inspired a lot of people, and you obviously study well.
Well.
You love to study. In fact, yeah. You wrote a book called Simple Gospel. Tell us about Simple Gospel.
Simple Gospel is a combination. I know there are parallel Bibles, and there are different renditions of the gospel that try to pull it all together. But what I did is I sat down. I had done several studies on the gospels, and I sat down and verse by verse through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, put each verse side by side, crossed them off as I used them, but without the help of really using another source, tried to find where I would put these verses and merge them together in chronological order. And what started out as kind of a study for myself became this work. And so what I've done is I've taken the Gospels and tried to put them into a modern vernacular and in a series of sentences,
mm-hmm.
just like I would talk with you, state what Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John had to say, flowing in chronological order, so that
wow.
you get the feel of Jesus as he walked through.
Amen.
In a timely fashion.
Well, yeah. Give us some examples of some of the verbiage in there.
Well, as an illustration, if you consider the time when Jesus was confronted in the Garden of Gethsemane, and you have Matthew. In fact, let me back up and just say who the people were who I'm trying to quote here. You got a fellow named Matthew, and Matthew is a tax collector, we all know. But if you can consider that this is a guy by the name of Matthew Levi, Levi being, of course, his family name, and he was a Levite, and that would put him in a priestly order. So this is a guy who grew up in a pretty strong Jewish background, turned from that, became a tax collector. And a tax collector was basically buying a franchise from the Roman government to make money.
Mm-hmm.
And so here was a guy who was a priest who had studied and known the word and had probably had family who were actually deeply religious, turned from that and became, in the eyes of his nation, a scoundrel, but was very detail-oriented and kept records of who's who and who makes how much money and who's been fishing and who's collected what. And I need it. I need my share.
Yeah.
So he was a guy who was good at keeping records. And Jesus walked by one day and he said, "You know what, I could use a guy like you." And Matthew immediately felt his calling.
Yeah.
And he left and followed Jesus. Okay, so here's the guy who essentially kept track, kept records, went back and looked through the genealogy of Jesus and recorded it. recorded the Sermon on the Mount. He's the only one.
Mm-hmm.
Recorded how many people were at the feeding of the 5,000, the 3,000, numbered the crowds wherever they went, but kept all the good records. And from there you have Mark. And Mark, of course, was not an actual disciple himself. But he did, as you know, travel with Paul and Barnabas and turn back and then was reinstated as a missionary, traveled again with Barnabas, but later became a scribe to Paul and to Peter. And at the end of many of their epistles, you find Mark's penmanship that he, in fact, sends his greetings to the crowd. So we know that Mark became a tremendous ally and secretary, if you will, to people like Peter. So he probably got most of his gospel stories directly from the mouth of Peter, who probably said something on the order of, you know, Mark, when I was a young man like you, I was very impetuous. I got into a lot of trouble. I got so excited to see Jesus walking on the water that I wanted to jump out of the boat, you know. So Mark gives us those stories. And then you've got Luke, the physician, the Greek, the scholar, the historian, and he followed this gospel. When he met Paul and it was so impressed, he actually followed the story like a CNN reporter or a Fox News reporter, somebody who would really just chase a story like that, mm-hmm. getting to the bottom of it, and tremendous factual accounts. But if you notice, Luke gives a genealogy too, but not like Matthew. Matthew gave his directly from the temple, but Luke would give his virtually from the mouth of Mary. Mm. She gave Mary's genealogy. So you got all these people from different perspectives. And then John, and where John came to the gospel, if you recall what happened, Brother David, Jesus came along the boats in Capernaum,
mm-hmm.
and said to the guys, come, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. But do you remember what John was doing when Jesus called?
John, wasn't he fishing?
The others were fishing. Very clearly it says that John was mending their nets.
Okay, yes.
Okay. The reason that's important in Jewish culture, David, is that the runt of the family stayed behind and cleaned up. Do you remember when a fellow by the name of Samuel...
That's a good way to put it,
yeah,
brother.
When a fellow by the name of Samuel, a prophet, came through, and you were talking about Jonathan. It reminds me of when Samuel came to Jesse's house and wanted to... God had told him to go find a king to replace Saul, and came into Jesse's house, and Jesse introduced him to all his sons. Do you remember what happened after that?
Yeah, he passed through all of them and said... You know, he questioned, and he thought God would take the biggest, strongest, most
exactly
with authoritative, handsome, whatever guy.
Right.
And then he goes, "Do you have any more kids?"
That's right. Yeah, do you have any more kids? And he said, basically, "Well, I have the runt,
yeah,
yeah, little kid,
yeah,
who's out there watching the sheep because the last born got the cleanup duty."
Yeah, that's
okay.
True.
So here you have John, who's basically the last born with the cleanup duty. And Jesus says, come with me, I'll make you fishers of men. And John joins them. The reason that's important is because if you look at the book of John, it's the last gospel written. And all the others are written, and John fills in the blanks and ties the net together. Then all of the other epistles are written, and John writes 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. Again, tying all the letters together. And what's the last book of the Bible?
Revelation.
Written by?
John.
Who ties it all together, wraps it up neatly, and says, okay, this is what it's about.
Mm.
Okay. So you put those four perspectives, and I have a brother-in-law who's a police captain in Oklahoma City, and he had told me about a composite, and a composite is an accident is where four people on different corners see an accident. And if he can get the perspective of each one, he can learn what really happened, because from one angle, all one person saw was a red car hit a blue truck. But from another corner, someone saw that the blue truck ran a stop sign. But from the other corner, someone sees that the red car swerved and ran into the truck. But finally, he learns that there was a dog or a child that ran in front of the red car, made it swerve, made it hit the blue, and he knows the story.
Okay.
Same thing is really true here. So when you go to the Garden of Gethsemane, and you look at all four of these reports,
yes,
you have one guy by the name of Matthew who talks about the crowd that's coming, and he identifies them. And there are people from the Sanhedrin, and there are soldiers, and there are people with swords and torches, and he describes it. And then the next thing you know, Peter jumps up with his sword and starts to chop around, and that's out of mark. And then only one guy identifies who got hit, and that was Malchus. And Luke tells us that his ear was cut off and that Jesus healed the ear. Now, the doctor would care about the healing of the ear. But John is the one who gives us the whole wrap-up of what happened. And if you put all four together, you get, in a sentence form, the full story. So that's more what I tried to do.
So that's what you took. You took the four event. Gospels, mm-hmm. and you took each event, and you came up basically with the
whole picture.
The whole picture. So right. You took all four Gospels, made one book, which if you finished this book, you would have read all four Gospels.
All four Gospels. And every verse of every book is included, but there's nothing from an outside source.
Okay.
So
that's awesome. That's awesome. Now, you just recently went to Israel.
Yes, I did.
And we have about maybe 5-10 minutes. Well, 10 minutes. Let's talk about that, because you gave me this. Tell me first of all, because Eric, he's a good friend, so he brought me a gift, and it was a cup.
Yeah.
It made out of olives.
Olive, yeah.
And olive tree. And tell us about that. But then tell us about. I mean, when you came back, you had some stories. And I just tell us what your experience was, and I know after writing this book, it probably enlightened you even more while you were there.
It did to actually walk where these events took place and walk in the steps of those men that were who I was trying to quote. And the area hasn't changed that much. It's not like it's built up, and there are a lot of huge commercial buildings or resorts or anything like that. It's much as it was then.
Okay.
But it was a tremendous experience. And you mentioned the olive. One of the most striking things that I got, and having mentioned the Garden of Gethsemane, the fact is that Jesus was there, and it was an olive orchard, the Mount of Olives. And olives, everything grows well there. It's a wonderful place to grow any fruit or citrus, but the olive trees are in abundance. But on the Mount of Olives, as you can tell from pictures, current pictures taken of the area, there aren't a lot of olive trees. And while I was at the Garden of Gethsemane, I actually picked up an olive. Picked an olive off of a tree and ate it, and it was terrible. And I asked one of the fellows who was there about it, and he said, "Oh no, this used to be really good for planting olives, but everything that grows here now is sour. It's bitter." And I wanted to shake them. I said, "Don't you get it? Don't you understand? there's a curse here now, you know." So, but
yeah.
it was interesting to just. See that, but a lot just the area, and to get the feel of this is where life emanates from. True life.
Amen.
So, yeah.
Tell us about your experience out there. As far as did you feel safe?
I did. I was totally at peace the whole time I was there, because I felt like I was in a bubble. The Spirit just overwhelmed me, and I knew that I was on a mission, and that the Lord was going to take me and bring me back safely.
Amen.
But even as you go on your mission junkets,
yep.
Brother David, you just feel like you're in an envelope, and God is watching out for you. Besides which, you've got to recognize, realize, and appreciate that what happens is of the Lord. And if we yield and we walk in His steps, then He's not going to take us where we shouldn't go. But if we step out of there, then we're in danger. Then we're in
yep.
harm's way. But,
absolutely.
As long as we're walking in the will and the way of the Lord Jesus, then that's a pretty safe place to be.
Amen. Now, Eric's going to be traveling with us up to Florida. We're going to be all out there in Orlando, and that's going to be an interesting time. He has a couple of radio interviews, and we're trying to get him some TV ones as well. Simple Gospel, we're going to really try and push this out for him this year. You can go to his bookstore, simplegospelbooks.com, simplegospelbook.com, and take a view of that and see different things. There's some amazing testimonies here, or just some what others are saying about your book. It says it's amazing that one that no one until now has thought of writing this book, and that was Pastor Dusty Kemp. And then you have Reverend Scott accomplished in the producing Simple Gospel is quite remarkable. And that's Pastor Andy Knoll, senior pastor of Atascocita City United Methodist Church. Then you have Mark Dildine says, this is a great book for anyone that wants to know more about the Lord. These are really good comments about your book. And recently I got interested in Christianity, and this book made Jesus more understandable and believable. And that's Cody Sitton. And that's nice. That's nice.
Yeah, you know, actually, that's probably of the testimonials. And the one from George Simpson are the ones that really mean something to me, because people who are religious, who have studied the Bible and have read the Gospels, they have some kind of orientation. What's been remarkable to me is that there are an awful lot of people out there who don't know anything about the Bible or the Lord. Those are a lot of the people that I want to reach. People who say, "Ah, well, it's just a book handed down through generations, word of mouth. It may or may not be true, but if you can read it and it's relevant and it's and people can walk away saying, "Oh, I saw that, and the story makes sense. It's believable. It's documented. I get it." That's what really touches my heart.
Amen. You could also buy this on Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, any Christian bookstore, any retailer that sells books in a brick-and-mortar place. Now, that doesn't really mean brick-and-mortar, but you know what I mean. Okay. You can go into any of the bookstores where you purchase your books, and you can ask them for Simple Gospel by Eric Scott, a modern language account of the life of Christ. I think that just sounds beautiful, a modern language account of the life of Christ. We've got to understand that King James and all the other versions in between have all, you know, kept the simple format and all the book. The Gospels are in the same location as they were in any other Bible. But what this does is it breaks it down, makes it a little bit more reader-friendly. And gives you a little bit more insight. And again, he has a huge reference in the back with all the scriptures, so you know where you're reading at the point that you are in the book. And Eric, we'd like to thank you for coming by and being a part of the show. Is there any contact information you'd like to give him?
I would just say that if people are interested, I would love for them to contact Rev Media.
Okay.
And
you can always write them here at the station. Rev Media Publishing is what we use. Rev Media Publishing, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas 77325. Or when you write, just put Eric Scott on there, courtesy of Rev Media, and it'll get to us, and we'll get him the information. And you can email him as well. Here, do you have your email set up with us, or do you have your own email you want to give out?
They could send it to mail to Eric Scott at yahoo.com, and I'll just
respond
directly. You bet.
Absolutely. Of course, his website has contact information, simplegospelbook.com. And we are going to head out for the day. We appreciate all our guests. We appreciate Eric. We appreciate Art Alley in the first segment. And it takes a lot of people to put a show together, and it takes a lot of people to just pray this show out there to people. So if you're being blessed, if something's happening for you, let us know. Write us, david@revmedianetwork.com. or Revelation Ministries, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas 77325. Either way, contact us. Let us know we're being a blessing. Share some testimonies with us. Let us know what's going on in your life. Hey, if you need prayer, we do want to pray for you. We do want to be that ministry that is there for you. So give us a call at 888-242-0649. You can, at 888-242-0469, you can give us a call as well. God bless you. And we'll see you next time on the Midwatch. And Brother Eric, we appreciate you being on the air with us.
Oh, thank you so much.
God bless. We'll catch you next time on the Midwatch. Tomorrow, we have... Who do we have tomorrow?
The views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station, this show, or its host.